The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
My message this morning is remembering his marvelous works. And as I think about his marvelous works, it's really important in a believer's life to look back and see the things that God has done for you. You know, it's not wrong to have a list of those things. We make, sometimes in our mind, we make lists of the things that have gone awry and gone wrong, when we should be making the list of the things that that God has done for us and the things that have been accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why it's important for us to remember his marvelous works. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12 says this: remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember his marvelous works. This morning I want to talk to you some about, we want to look at David's battle with Goliath. And I want to look at the things that that we need to remember in our lives, some steps that we need to take. As we, throughout this new year, 2018, I can guarantee that there's going to be some giants that we have to face. There's going to be great times. There's going to be wonderful celebrations, but there's going to be giants. Individually, there's going to be giants, and as a church, there will be giants. But there are certain steps that we can take when we face those giants that will help us to be overcomers of those giants, to defeat those giants, to tear them down, just like David did. We need to always remember that God has promised us that he's going to reward those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He has always promised. I was reading in Matthew, Jesus said that when he comes back, there's going to be rewards for those who will diligently serve him throughout their life. Now, that has nothing to do with salvation. I want you to make sure that we're not talking about salvation here. Our salvation is based on the works of Jesus on the cross. But he has called his people to do good works. In fact, he tells us that those good works have already been established. All we have to do is take them up and do them. So in order for us to stay on track, I believe that God has a reward system. That reward system takes place in the earth while we live here, and we will be looking forward to rewards when Jesus returns. That's why it's important that we recognize this is not a works-based salvation, but our works are important. And most important, we just want to please the Father, right? Isn't that what we want? I do want to please the Father. And we just need to remember to do good works. And sometimes we do good works to men based on what the Father wants us to do. And those men or those people appreciate it. Sometimes we do good works and they don't appreciate it. Let's just remember, we're not doing it for the people. We're doing it for the glory of God. Amen. We're doing it for his kingdom. I just read a little thing about a barber who was feeling generous, and he had an officer, police officer, come into his shop, and he said, "Today I'm going to give you a free haircut." He gave him a free haircut. The next day, he showed up, and there was a dozen donuts on his doorstep. In came, that same day, a florist came in, and he said, "Today I'm feeling generous, I'm going to give you a free haircut." Gave him a free haircut. The next day, a dozen roses was on his doorstep. That same day, a preacher came in. He said, "I'm feeling generous. I'm going to give you a free haircut." The next day, a dozen preachers was on a doorstep. Now, I can make fun of preachers because I am one. I is one. And, you know, I know pastors that sometimes take advantage of their position as a pastor, always wanting a handout. Well, I think we should be living above that. Our provision is our God. I don't always need a handout for somebody. I appreciate everything that people do for me. And I don't want to want you to feel like I do not appreciate it. I'm thankful. People do lots of things for us, and we're thankful for that. But our God is our provider. Your God is your provider. Your God is with you. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 as we get started this morning. Because the first thing that I want you to do is remember, do not be dismayed when you face a giant. Samuel 17, we're going to read 1 through 11. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damimin. Praise God. I don't have to pronounce those right. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and a valley between them. And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer went before him. And he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you a servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then he will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that he may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The word here, dismayed, the Greek word means to be broken down with fear, terribly afraid. All of Saul's army, Saul himself, they were all very dismayed. They were all very fearful because of this great champion. Now, you have to understand, Goliath was a champion. He was a champion of the Philistines. He had defeated all the other champions that the Philistines had. He defeated numerous champions of other armies. It was not unusual for armies to array in battle, as these two are in this particular scripture, as we see here, and send out champions on both sides. That's the way they started battles. And once the army on, or the champion on one side would defeat the other, then the battle would begin. Sometimes the battle would not begin. The people would run away in fear, and they won the battle just by through their champion. And that's what Goliath was proposing here. You send your champion out, whoever wins the battle will be a servant of the other army. Now, we have to understand something. Goliath was, as I said, he was a champion. He is a world, he would be considered today a world-class athlete. He was not some giant ogre who could barely walk and talk at the same time. He was extremely, probably most likely a very coordinated, a very powerful, a very strong, 9-foot-9-inch tall human beings. Very likely a descendant of a Nephilim, which was a union between angels and humans. He was somewhat of a supernatural being. with very, very strong and very, very, he was very capable, I guess what I'm trying to say, in battle. And that is shown in the fact that he was their champion. Now, Succoth was about 14 miles from Bethlehem in the foothills of Judean mountains. And that's significant because David had to go there, and David was from Bethlehem. So it was a pretty long trip, a pretty good trip for David. But David showed up, and he saw this giant who made the whole army dismayed. But David's response to that was, don't be dismayed. Don't be dismayed by this giant. God is on our side. And I want to tell you, why could David say that? Well, part of it is because David remembered what God had done for him. When he got ready to fight Goliath, he recalled, I killed a bear and I killed a lion and I took the lamb out of its mouth. Man, I want to tell you something. Goliath had no idea what he was fooling with. David knew exactly who was on his side. And he recalled those things that God had done for him. Remember what God has done for you in the past. Don't forget. I believe David probably also thought about the scripture in Joshua that says, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night and observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How do we do that? Take the word of God to heart. Trust it. Believe it. Maybe you haven't been a Christian a long time. Maybe you don't have a history to look back on, but you have the word of God to stand on. And when you have the word of God, you have an absolute concrete foundation that you can stand on. It's strong. The book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. I have commanded you, it goes on to say in verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be what? Dismayed. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's no place in this earth that you're going to go. There's no place that you... It doesn't matter how demonically inspired that place might be. There's no place that you will go that your God is not with you. He's powerful. He's strong. He's on your side. Do not be dismayed. Now listen, fear is a powerful force that the enemy uses against God's people. We may look at a situation and say, I might look at your situation and say, why are you afraid? Because it doesn't affect me the way it affects you. When you have a fear, there is more to it than just an external happening around you. Sometimes when you have a fear, you become fearful of a situation because of your past experience. And that fear rises up inside of you. It's more than the external circumstance. It's the emotional circumstance that you recall, that you go back to, that you think about. I saw an example of this. I was reading a little bit about hunting dogs. And I was reading about a particular group of hunting dogs that a guy had, and they hunted... They were bred to hunt bear. And he had three particular hunting dogs that he had on his farm. And these hunting dogs were fierce hunters. They hunted bear, and they would attack bear. And he depended on these dogs. But there was one problem with these dogs. When they were puppies, they ran around the farm, and this guy had chickens. And the chickens picked on the puppies. And even as fierce bear hunters, they were scared to death of chickens. The enemy will do that to you. He will make you afraid of chickens. When chickens cannot harm you, you know, one bite those dogs could devour, take their head off. But because of the emotional attachment they had when they were puppies, it was controlling their life. They would rather fight a bear than a chicken. Sometimes that happens for us. We get caught up in the emotional situation that has happened in the past. That's why it's very important that we rely on our God. I was having this discussion with my wife the other day because I have some fears that I have to overcome on a regular basis. It just doesn't go away. You know, believe it or not, this is one of them. Standing here in front of you, preaching the Word of God. No, not chickens. I kick chickens. But I don't come up here in my power. I don't do this by anything that is internally inside of me. If I would, depending on what was internally inside of me, and I wouldn't come up here. I wouldn't walk up here in the pulpit. Because sometimes everything inside of me is crying out, you don't want to do this. Now, it's a lot more comfortable coming here in front of the people here, all of you, that I know you love me and you understand that I'm human and I make mistakes. But I got to tell you, when I'm asked to go outside of this place to speak, it's difficult for me. Very hard. Because, and I can't explain it, I don't know why. Maybe it was something that happened when I was a kid. But being in front of people is a difficult task. Yet, I refuse to allow the enemy to stop me from accomplishing what God has called me to do. This is my calling. I have been equipped. I have been given the anointing for this task, and I'm going to accomplish this task no matter what the enemy tries to tell me every time I come up here. God is on my side. The Lord Jesus Christ is guiding and directing my steps. The power of the Holy Spirit is within me. Nothing the enemy can do, nothing he can throw at me, can stop me from doing what God has called me to do. I want to tell you something about David. You know, he was the youngest in his family. How many of you in here have several siblings and you're young? Okay. You're below some of your siblings. Okay. All right. Did you get picked on when you were a kid? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was the oldest in my family, so I got to be careful. My brother Steve would always he would always whine to my mom about the fact that I was picking on him. I can't, you know, from my perspective, I couldn't understand it. So what if I punched him? What's that? But I do know this. And from my grandsons, just two boys, Marshall and Owen. Marshall seems to get great enjoyment out of picking on Owen. It drives his Graham and his mother crazy. Most of the time, I can tolerate it. Once in a while, laugh about it. But it's still, you know, you see what's happening. You know, that the older sibling is picking on the younger. So I'm almost positive that David had a pretty tough life. And yet, David had the relationship with the Lord that made him strong and faithful. In Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, this is what David said to Saul. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. That was a powerful statement. It's not, you know, that was David looking beyond the circumstances. Looking beyond the height of that giant. The fact that he had all the modern equipment to fight the battle. What, you know what this would be like? It would be like a Marine with all the modern day warfare. The proper weapons, all the body armor, all everything that was necessary to fight a battle, going up against Eddie with a 38 revolver. You know? Or me, or any of us. Not completely without a weapon, but look out. I mean, you know that you did not have the resources the other person has. And yet David boldly stepped into this situation and said, do not be dismayed. I want to remind you this morning, do not be dismayed. David chose to think about, to remember the things that God had done for him. Philippians 4:8 tells us this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. Keep your mind on the right things. Remember what God has done for you. Remember, He's a good God. Remember, He is on your side. All right, let's look at verse 33. Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, verse 33 through 37. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when the lion or the bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Remember, hallelujah, not only remember not to be dismayed, remember, continue to remember what the Lord has done for you. And I've already talked about what this part of it, how important it is. But if you look back through Scripture, you begin to see there were kings, and there were people that would forget what God had done for them in the past. There was a king by the name of Asa, king of Israel, or king of Judah. When he first became a king, he was attacked by the Ethiopians. A million-man army came up against him. And that is 2 Chronicles chapter 14 through 16. You can read about this. A million-man army came up against him. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. Many years later, another army, the army of Israel, threatened Judah. And this time, instead of crying out to the Lord, he turned to the king of Syria and paid him to come and deliver him. And God told him, said, listen, After it was all over with, you should have depended on me, not on Syria. You should not have leaned on the arm of flesh. You should have leaned on the Spirit of the living God. And because of that, his kingdom began to crumble at that point. He was no longer trusting in the living God. There's another king by the name of Hezekiah, on the other hand, who believed in the power of God. He didn't have much history with God's deliverance other than to look back and see what God had done for Israel. And when an army came against him, the Assyrian army, this is what he said to his people. Listen closely. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Syria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Verse 8 goes on to say, with him is an arm of flesh, and with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. God is calling out to his people. Think about, remember, do not be dismayed, and remember what the Lord has done. Remember what he's done for us. Think about all the things that he has accomplished on our behalf. Look back. If you want to look back in the history of Bethel. You can see time after time how God would show up for us and delivered us, moved us in a new direction, caused us to go up higher to another level. I was thinking about a story that I read about a little girl who said that to her brother promised her that he would take her to his favorite place. It was on the top of this high hill. And when she got there with him, she looked at it and there was rocks and bumps and difficulty on the way up. And she said, oh man, that's look at all those rocks and bumps. And he said, yeah, but if not for those rocks and bumps, you wouldn't have anything to put your feet on. It gets us to the top. The rocks, the bumps, the difficulties that go through, what God is doing in our lives, those things that he allows in our lives, sometimes they seem so difficult, but they're to take us to a higher level, a new place in the kingdom of God in our lives. Don't think of them so much as difficulties, but as stepping stones. Something to take you higher, take you up. Psalms chapter 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some on horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I always like what John Wesley said. Give me 100 men who love nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, and I will shake the whole world for Jesus Christ. Just 100 could shake the whole world. Look what Jesus did with 12. We're still living in that process that they started, the church. In the church, let me tell you something. People are talking about the church is dying. People are talking about the church is giving up. People are talking. I've heard people say that in 10 years, the church will hardly exist. Well, back a few, many, many years ago, I shouldn't say a few years ago, many, many years ago, they were saying the same thing about the church. And at that time, that's when God shows up. When God's people who are called by his name will seek his face, will pray, and turn from their wicked ways. You know, it does take a people. It takes a remnant. But when a remnant calls out to the living God, the church comes alive again. We're not dead. We're not going to die. God has promised that he's going to keep us alive. Jesus said he's coming back for a church, a bride that is without spot or blemish. We're going to be prepared. We're going to be ready. We're going to be doing the things of the kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus came and established is still the kingdom work that we're doing today. We're going to accomplish all that God has called us to. We are not going to allow the enemy to stop us. Amen? Hallelujah. I hope you believe that. Remember, do not be dismayed. Remember what the Lord has done. Remember, And the last thing, look at verse 38 through 40. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The rest is history. We know exactly what happens. He takes that Philistine down. But here's what I want to point out to you. Remember who you are, not who other people want you to be, not who somebody else says you should be, not even what the circumstances around you might be trying to mold and shape you into. Remember who you are. That was very important in this situation. David had to remember. He had not. He said to Saul, I've not tested these. I've not tried them. I've not proven them. I'm not a warrior like that. I'm a warrior for the kingdom of God. But my weapon is this sling and these stones. He took off that stuff that the king was trying to put on him. And he remembered who he was. He remembered exactly where he'd come from. He remembered how he defeated the lion and the bear. He remembered those hours of practicing in the wilderness with a sling all alone, praying and seeking the living God. And he believed not only in himself, but, you know, he did have a certain amount of belief in his own ability. But it wasn't his ability that was carrying him through, and he knew that. He knew it was the living God. He knew that he had some skill and he could hit his mark. But he knew also that unless the living God was on his side, even though he hit his mark, it wouldn't bring that Philistine down. He was too big and too powerful. He remembered who he was in God Almighty. Remember who you are in Christ. You are the child of the Most High God. You are a son, a daughter, a prince, and a princess. That doesn't make us proud and arrogant. It makes us confident in where we're going and what we're going to accomplish. Keep your focus. Keep your focus on what's right. You know, I like sports movies, and there's several of them that I like. I don't know if you've ever seen the McFarlane USA. It's a pretty good movie. Most of these are based on true stories. That's the reason I like some of them. Glory Road with Don. It was a story about Don Haskins as a college coach. He had the first complete total African American team overcoming prejudice and the struggles that they had. Good movie. And it was actually based on Texas Western University winning a championship. And Hoosiers is one of the ones that I like. Have you ever seen Hoosiers? Okay, well, if you haven't, check it out. Maybe you don't like sports movies, but it's a pretty good one. Gene Hackman is the coach in this, and he portrays a guy called Norman Dale as the coach. Now, this movie is based very loosely on a true story. Actually, in 1954, a small town basketball team did win the state championship. There was a player on there that the main player in the movie is based after. His name is Bobby Plum. I believe they call him something else in the movie. I don't remember exactly. Jimmy Chitwood or something like that. But anyhow, it's very loosely based. But the movie it's a good movie. It's fun. But the reason I'm saying that is that I want to point out something out to you that actually did happen with Don and his team. And when they went to the Coliseum, they were used to playing in little schools, very similar to Tupper's Plains and Chester in 1954. Very small auditoriums. And when they went to the state championship, they played in a huge arena. And when his players walked in, they looked at that arena and they were just awestruck at their surroundings. They were overwhelmed. So what he did was he took them over to the hoop, to the basketball hoop, and he had one guy hold it underneath the rim out to the foul line, and he said, "How far is it?" He said, 15 feet. Okay, and he had him measure the hoop. "How high is it?" 10 feet. And he said to them, "You will find that the measurements of this arena are exactly the same as ours back home." And then he made the point to them, "You're playing, basically playing on a level playing field. It doesn't matter how big this arena is. Everything is the same. For believers in Jesus Christ, every one of us is playing on a level playing field, but it's covered by the blood of Jesus." And that's powerful. We're starting off with an advantage, a great advantage. The enemy has no power over you. The enemy cannot stop you. The enemy will not hold us back. We may be starting out this new year. I know I'm going to have to be gone for a period of time. I'm going to go have surgery. But praise God, we're going to get that behind us and we're going to move on. And great and mighty things are in our future. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. God wants you to keep your focus. Focus on that cross. Focus on the power of God. Focus on the power that is in the name of God. Of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit expects us to use our gifts, our talents, our abilities. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, or chapter 12, I'm sorry. I'm going to wrap things up very soon. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." We have been given faith, a measure to build on. "Whereas we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them to prophesy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." Amen. "Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. Who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." He's exhorting us that we are all part of the body of Christ. We have different gifts, different talents, different abilities, but they're all given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Use those things, knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing that Christ is on your side. Walk by faith based on what God has called you to. The gifts, the talents, the abilities that you have are given to you to extend the kingdom of God. Be strong. Be faithful. This is what David said to his son Solomon. Be strong. Be faithful. And do it. Just do it. Everybody thought that was Nike that came up with that. David said, be strong Be faithful and just do what I've given you to do. You can accomplish it. God is with you. But the saints, listen, we've got to rally, saints. We've got to rise up. We've got to know who we are. We've got to remember who we are in Jesus Christ. Don't be dismayed. Remember what God has done for you. Remember who you are. When Oliver Cromwell was the Lord Protector over Commonwealth of England, there was a silver crisis, and there wasn't any silver in the land, and he sent his men all over the land to find silver. And they all came back and they said, there's no silver in the land except the statues of the saints in the great cathedrals. And Cromwell said, get those saints, melt down those saints, and put the saints in circulation. That's what we need, is saints who are in circulation. They're not doing any good. We're not doing any good as statues in our cathedrals and our sanctuaries. We ought to be in circulation. Amen. Let's get there. Remember. Remember our task. Remember who we are. Remember what God has called us to. Great and mighty things are going to be accomplished in your life, in this church, and in the kingdom of God. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.